Good morning. We're glad that you've joined us for the Let the Bible Speak program. Our topic this morning concerns challenging commands from the Lord. There are often times in the New Testament when the Lord commands us to do some things, and yet many people just simply will not do them. They find them too challenging, they believe, or they believe that they cannot fulfill them or do them for some reason or another. And we need to understand that it is important to follow the commands of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior, and it's not optional. We must obey Him. Jesus said on one occasion in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And in the judgment day in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that in the judgment day, many will have said, "Lord, Lord," but they will not have done what Jesus said. He said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" There are many people even who are religious who simply do not follow the commands of the Lord. And so this morning we want to talk about challenging commands from the Lord and why it is sometimes that individuals will not obey what the Lord says. You know, if you look throughout God's Word, you find that different times God commanded His people to do things, and sometimes those things were very challenging. And yet we find that they did those things. I think about Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. He was told to build the ark. This would have been a physical challenge. It would have been a command that would have been physically challenging. And yet he and his three sons built that ark. That was a very large vessel. But they obeyed the Lord. They did everything that God had commanded. I think about the command to march around Jericho seven times in Joshua chapter 6, that command would have been very challenging because just simply marching around walls does not make walls fall down. We know that. And yet they believed the Lord when He said that that's what would happen. And so a great faith there to fulfill those commands. I think about the command in the book of Genesis chapter 12 where Abraham is told to leave his family and his homeland. That would have been very challenging. People love where they grow up. They have a dear thought in their heart about that and their family, their friends, their kindred. And yet he left all of those things to go to the land of Canaan. I think about Jesus obeying his father who wanted him to go to the cross. That would have been a very sacrificial command to obey. And on and on and on throughout the Word of God. When God commands us something, we need, as His children, to obey. And friend, you may be listening this morning, and you really need to start obeying the commands of God. There are things that we are supposed to be doing each first day of the week, and sometimes a person will just simply sit at home and not do those things. Jesus said, for example, with regard to the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26, when He instituted the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread to memorialize His blood and body on the cross, He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." This do in remembrance of Me. That's a command. And yet many people will not observe the Lord's Supper. We have a command to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And yet many people will not do those things. There are commands with regard to worshiping God, how to pray and singing and laying by in store on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 1 and 2, it was an order, it was a command by Paul to lay by a contribution upon the first day of the week. It's not optional. It's not just a suggestion. That was an order. And Paul said that he was giving that order to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, just like he had given to the churches of Galatia, so do you also. And so the command to give of our contribution each first day of the week. And yet many people won't do these things. The Lord's Supper, being baptized into Christ, worshiping God, giving of their contribution. These are commands that are just left undone because people say they just they feel they can't do them or don't want to do them or whatever the case might be. And yet this morning we're going to see the importance of following the commands of God. You know, some individuals, as we've already mentioned, have been given very challenging commands. I think of three Old Testament prophets that were given some challenging commands, and they affected the prophets in a very personal kind of way. If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 16, we will look at one of those. Do you know that Jeremiah was told not to marry or have children? Not to marry or have children. You stop and think about that. That's a very personal kind of thing. And we might have said, if God was speaking to us, well, wait, that's my personal life. And there's a young woman that I'm in love with and I want to marry her. And I've always wanted to have children. I grew up in a family with brothers and sisters and I always wanted to have my own children. And so I'm not going to do that, Lord. Well, we've got to decide, do we want to do what we want or what the Lord wants? In Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 1, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. He was commanded not to marry or to have children. God didn't want his wife and children to experience the coming judgment on Jerusalem. Jeremiah is prophesying right before the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem. Verse 3, for thus saith Jehovah concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. They shall be as dung upon the face of the ground, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. And their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the heavens and for the beasts of the earth. And God wanted to spare Jeremiah that pain and anguish of having his wife and children killed in that Babylonian captivity. So do not marry or have children. That's a very challenging command. And we find that Jeremiah, if you read the rest of the chapter, of course, and the rest of the book, Jeremiah was obedient to the Lord. Let's look at another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel was told that his wife was soon going to die and he was not allowed to mourn for her. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 24 and you think about that. Ezekiel chapter 24 beginning in verse 15. If you were told that your wife was going to die and then you were told you are not allowed to mourn for her, that would be a very challenging command. If you loved your wife and you'd been married to her for many years and you were not allowed to grieve at all, that would be very challenging. And yet, God told Ezekiel this very thing because they were, the death of his wife was assigned to Judah. Judah was going to be carried away into Babylonian captivity and no one was to grieve for her. She deserved that. She continued to engage in her sins as God's people, the idolatry and other immoralities and things, and she would be carried away into captivity, and there is to be no mourning for her. Look at Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 15. Also the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, I take away thee from thee the desire of thine eyes. That's his wife. The desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet thou shalt neither mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind thy head tire upon thee and put thy shoes upon thy feet and cover not thy lips and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? Then I said unto them, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the pride of your power, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters, whom you have left behind, shall fall by the sword. This is the sanctuary, Jerusalem, God's temple there, would fall under the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah prophesying right before the Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel prophesying right after the Babylonian captivity. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips nor eat the bread of men. And your tire shall be upon your heads and your shoes upon your feet. The tire, the old English word for headdress. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away in your iniquities and moan one toward another. Thus shall Ezekiel be unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done, shall you do. When this cometh, then you shall know that I am the Lord Jehovah. And thou, son of man, shall it not be in the day that when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, and the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their heart, their sons and their daughters, that in that day he that escapeth shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be open to him that is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb or silent. So thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. So just as Ezekiel's wife, the desire of his eyes, was taken away in death, so Jerusalem, the desire of God's eyes, would be of the eyes of the people, would be taken away in the Babylonian captivity. But to be told not to mourn for your wife, that's a very challenging thing. One other prophet, and then we'll move on into our lesson. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 1. You see, sometimes God gives his people very challenging commands, and we find the faithful among God's people, they carry out those commands no matter how challenging they are. And that's an example for us today, that no matter how challenging God's word might be, we can get up and do what God said. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop rationalizing it away. We need to stop arguing with God. We need to stop saying why it is we can't do such and such, and just get up and faithfully do it. One last prophet is Hosea. Do you know that Hosea was told to marry a harlot? Can you imagine? You've never been married before, and you're told that you must marry a prostitute. Well, the problem with that is obvious. You don't want to be with someone who has been with a number of men. Maybe they have a sexually transmitted disease. Maybe they have grown to be very loose and immoral and untrustworthy. And why would you want to marry someone like that? And yet that's what we find in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. When Jehovah spake at the first by Hosea, Jehovah said unto Hosea, go take thee a wife of whoredom or harlotry, and children of whoredom, for the land doth commit great whoredom departing from Jehovah. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him a son. And Jehovah said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. And so he did that. And then we find that his wife bore another, a daughter, and her name was to be Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. And so he's told to go marry a harlot, and then he does. And then turn with me to chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. And Jehovah said unto me, go again, love a woman beloved of her friend, an adulteress, even as Jehovah loveth the children of Israel, though they turn unto other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be any man's wife, so I will also be toward thee. This is probably a reference once again to Gomer after she had gone away and been adulterous after marrying Hosea. God tells Hosea to love her again, to take her back. And that would be a challenging command if our spouse cheated on us and then we were commanded to take them back. And so we find that Hosea did that very thing. He was to be a sign to Israel that God would take his people back if they would repent and come back to him. So whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's Hosea, whether it is Noah or Abraham or anyone, when we find in God's word the faithful obeying God's commands, it is a great example for us. And so we find sometimes that God's commands are very challenging. I want to talk now about why it is that God's commands are challenging to people today. It's not that we can't physically do them. It's for other reasons. Number one, some of God's commands run contrary to our own human reasoning. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and chapter 10 and verse 23, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. One of the Proverbs says that there is a way in man that he thinks is right, but the end of those ways is death. You see, we have our own human reasoning about things, what we think and what we feel and what we believe ought to happen. And when God's word is different from that, then we say, well, I'm just not going to do that. The problem is, friend, our human reasoning. We need to have God's reasoning in our life. We need to follow God's reason. His ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah chapter 55. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he knows what is best for us, and we simply need to do what he wants. We need to follow his wisdom, not our wisdom. Another reason why people don't follow God's commands is that God's commands run contrary to their own human desires, what they want, what they desire in life, what they're seeking in life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul said that when he preached the gospel, many Jews didn't want it and many Gentiles didn't want it. They desired other things. Paul said, seeing that Jews asked for signs or miracles, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul said, sometimes I preach the gospel to Jews and they won't believe it. All they want is a miracle. I preach the gospel to Romans and Greeks and Gentiles and they don't want it. All they want is human wisdom, the wisdom of the Greek philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates. They don't want the simple gospel. And so they desire things that will not save them. And so human desires often keep us from following God's word. A third reason why some of God's commands run contrary to us and we don't want to do them, because of what we've been taught. We've been already taught that we don't need to do such and such, or that we need to do such and such, and it's contrary to the Word of God. But we're just simply following human tradition. Maybe what the pastor or the preacher or the reverend said. Maybe the way the parents said it. Maybe the grandparents said it. And if we've been taught, for example, that baptism is not necessary for salvation, then we don't do that. If we've been taught certain things, then we won't do those things if we've been taught that we don't have to do them. But we've been taught by man, friend. God wants us to do things. We simply need to follow His word. We need to give up any man-made traditions, society traditions, religious traditions, family traditions. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, there's an example of this. The Pharisees taught their followers that they didn't have to help out their elderly parents. They had been taught that, but they were violating the word of God. Matthew 15, verse 4, God said, honor thy father and thy mother. And a part of that is taking care of them in their old age. But the Pharisees had taught their followers that they didn't have to take care of their parents. And so they were violating the command of God. Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. They had already been told, well, I don't have to take care of my parents. And so the very command that told them to take care of their parents, they were making that void or violating that or ignoring that. It was simply because of what the Pharisees had taught them. And the same is true today. You know, sometimes God commands us certain things and it runs contrary to practices in society that are going on and certain things that society approves of. One today is homosexual marriage. Society approves of it. And when God says that marriage is between a man and a woman, many people ignore that because society says it's okay for two men or two women to marry and have a sexual relationship. And turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following. This is the problem. If society says that it's fine to lie and steal and cheat, commit adultery, commit homosexuality, on and on and on, be lazy, if society approves of things, not paying back your debts, all kinds of things, then when God's word speaks to these matters, we often ignore them because we're just going along with what society says. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. You see, we don't follow the commands of God because we're just simply going by unrighteous society. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts. Look at verse 26, homosexuality. For this cause God gave them up vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up into a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only those who do the same, but also who consent with them that practice. And so, individuals doing many ungodly things, and society is full of that, friends. And that's why many will not follow the commands of God laid down in Scripture. They're just simply following what society says. And so we need to get back to following what God says. I want to share a few New Testament passages with you that will help you and encourage you along these lines. Do you remember Jesus' mother in turning the water into wine in Cana of Galilee? John chapter 2 and verse 5. Jesus' mother said, whatsoever he says, do it. Whatsoever he says, do it. And he asked for that water to be brought, and then he turned it into wine. Whatever he says to do, do it. And that needs to be our attitude today. I think about, turn to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a voice from heaven heard from his Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We have to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter to let down the nets into the sea and he would catch a large group of fish? And Peter said, we've been toiling all night and we haven't caught anything. But then look at it, what he says, at thy word, we will let down the nets. And so we need to learn that important lesson that when Jesus tells us something, we just simply need to get up and do it. He's the Almighty Son of God. Look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, when Jesus commanded his apostles to go into all the world and make disciples. They were to preach the gospel and they were to make disciples. They were to teach all nations and they were to baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's how disciples are made, through teaching and through baptism, not just teaching. But in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Teach them to observe whatever I command you. We need to have an attitude that whatever Jesus commands for us, we need to do it. And then turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, when Peter came to the home of Cornelius and preached to him the gospel, and he and his family were baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, when Peter comes to his home, Cornelius has a great attitude. And look at what he says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. He speaks to Peter and says, forthwith, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we, Cornelius and all of his household, we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. And Peter opened his mouth and he begins to preach to him about Jesus. And look at verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And of course, Cornelius did that. He said, verse 33, we are all present in the sight of God to hear all things that have been commanded thee of the Lord. That needs to be our attitude. Friends, Whatever he says, do it. John 2:5. Hear ye him. Matthew 17 verse 5. At thy word. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Matthew 28 verse 20. We are here to hear all things commanded thee of the Lord. You see, it comes from the Lord. It's not just Peter's opinion. It's not just Paul's opinion. And so when we read in the Gospels and when we read the book of Acts and the epistles all the way through the book of Revelation, there are things that are commanded for Christians in the Lord's church. There are things commanded to become a Christian. There are things commanded to remain faithful as a Christian. And we can't just simply say, well, I don't want to do those things. They're too challenging for me. Remember those prophets and men of old who just got up and faithfully did what the Lord wanted them to do. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, over and over again, by faith, these individuals did what they were told to do. By faith, they got up and they did what God commanded them to do. And yes, some of those things were challenging. Genesis 22 verse 1, telling Abraham, take your son and go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And Abraham did all the way through to raising up the knife, and he was going to kill his son, and the Lord stayed his hand. He saw that he was going to be faithful. You see, there are commands that we need to obey today. You know, we're supposed to love as Jesus loved. John chapter 13 and verse 34, that's a sacrificial command. That's hard to do sometimes, but we can do it. We're to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That's a command, it's not an option. We're to sing, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and there's no instrument accompanied there. There's no instrumental music. Women are not to preach or usurp authority, teach and usurp authority over a man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and yet we have all kinds of denominations with women preachers. There's all kinds of roles in the home for the husband and the wife and children. Be obedient to your parents, Ephesians 6, 1. And many young people won't follow that command today. And just on and on and on. We could fill up the rest of the morning talking about the different commands that Jesus has for us. Will we observe them or will we just simply say, well, they're too challenging and too hard for me? No, friend, we can do them. And so as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, I want us to think about God's commands. Number one, they are a test of our love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:15 and John 15:10. Jesus said, if you are my friends, if you do what I say, do what I command. John 15:14. It's a test of our true love. Do you really love Jesus? People say that all the time. Oh, how I love Jesus. They sing the song. They say they love Jesus, but they won't follow his commands. Friends, it's really a test of our true love and our friendship. It's a test of our relationship with God. If we really know God, we will keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3-4. Do you know that keeping the commandments are necessary if we're going to have our prayers answered? 1 John 3:22-24. And one last passage, and then the lesson is yours. John said that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And faith obeys the commands of God. And John said, 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the verse right before it, if we keep his commandments, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome, friends. They're not grievous. They're not hard to do. And we would encourage you to get up and obey those commands. And if we can assist you in doing that, please contact us. Thank you for listening this morning to the program, and have a good day.